Well, thank you, and my thanks to the TSA for being here today and giving us an opportunity to comment. I think dialogue is very important, and welcome the opportunity to speak. As it's been said, my name is Ed Bolin, and I'm the president and CEO of the National Business Aviation Association. Our association represents 8,000 companies that have one key trait in common. They all depend on general aviation aircraft to help their businesses survive and compete in a most challenging market environment. In the United States, 85% of the U.S. companies that use a general aviation airplane are small or mid-sized businesses. These companies often operate to and from communities with little or no commercial airline service. They fly to multiple sites in a single day, and they often fly equipment that, for whatever reason, can't be taken on a commercial airliner. For these companies, business aviation is not an alternative to the airlines. It's an essential mode of transportation. Without their airplane, many of these companies would cease to exist. As the TSA knows, NBAA and the other GA associations have been very aggressive about promoting security initiatives since 9/11. When it comes to security, the general aviation community has led, not followed. When it comes to security, we take a backseat to nobody in terms of our commitment. We think our actions to date have clearly demonstrated that fact. Our motivation in commenting on the TSA proposal should be clearly understood. We want to work with the TSA to enhance general aviation security, to harden our industry against attack, while simultaneously facilitating the operations that are essential to the survival of tens of thousands of U.S. businesses. The goals of enhancing security and facilitating mobility are not mutually exclusive, but achieving them will require a thoughtful, careful, and tailored approach that, quite frankly, we do not see in the proposed rule. Business aviation operations are a different animal than commercial aviation operations. That's why the Federal Aviation Administration treats them as separate and distinct in their safety regulations. By thoroughly understanding these differences and regulating accordingly, the FAA has been able to develop separate and unique safety regulations that have resulted in an equivalent level of safety. The same can be done with security. How are business aviation operations different? Well, for one thing, the planes are smaller. The proposed rule targets business airplanes as small as 12,500 pounds. A 12,500 pound airplane is less than one-tenth the size of a Boeing 737. In fact, the entire cabin of a 12,500 pound airplane, from windshield to back bulkhead, could comfortably fit sideways in one of the airplanes used in the terrorist attacks on 9/11. So make no mistake about it, the large aircraft security program will apply to some very small airplanes. Another key difference is that commercial airlines have to transport unknown passengers. They hold themselves out to the general public and transport anyone who purchases a ticket. By contrast, business aviation is used to transport only individuals who are known to the company. Comparing commercial operations to business aviation operations would be like comparing a city bus operation to the way a private company might use a passenger van for its internal operations. Knowing everything there is to know about your passenger changes everything. The proposed rule doesn't seem to recognize that fact. Its lack of understanding about the differences about these two operations, commercial and business aviation operations, that are at the heart of our concerns with the proposed rule. Now, I'm going to mention four specific concerns today because that's what the time will allow. A first concern is the application of the TSA proposals to airplanes as small as 12,500 pounds. As I said before, this large aircraft security program applies to small airplanes. We don't think that makes sense. We think the threshold needs to be substantially raised. A second major concern for NBAA and its members is that the list of prohibited items included in the TSA's plan. As you know, the proposal contains a list of more than 80 prohibited items, some of which are routinely carried aboard business aircraft every day, including tools that are central to NBA members' operations. For example, I received a letter the other day from Dave McNeil, who owns a company called McNeil Automotive. The company produces custom-designed and precision-fit floor liners and other protective interior equipment for cars and trucks. McNeil uses very sophisticated tools to capture data and reverse engineer complex vehicle geometry. His sensitive measuring equipment will not fit in the overhead bin of an airliner, and it might be damaged if checked as a baggage on a commercial flight or sent to a destination via overnight delivery. According to Dave, moving the equipment is as sensitive as handling a bag of potato chips, so he must carry the tools aboard his own airplane. Unfortunately, because the TSA includes among its prohibited items tools larger than 7 inches, his measuring equipment stands to be forbidden from his own airplane. Dave is greatly concerned that this proposal alone could shut down his entire business. And Dave is certainly not alone. Does it really make sense for a company sending a team of employees to fix a problem with one of their assembly lines not to be able to touch their tools in flight? Does it really make sense for a sporting good manufacturer not to be able to access their products as they fly and prepare for sales presentations? As I mentioned earlier, proposals like this one are illustrative of a larger point. Because so much of the TSA's large aircraft security program does not take into account the real difference between business aviation and commercial aviation, the plan can have and will have very destructive and unintended consequences if major changes are not made. A third area of concern for NBAA is the requirement for carrying federal air marshals. The TSA proposal would require owners of some airplanes to develop procedures for carrying a federal air marshal when told to do so by the TSA, even though it's hard to imagine why a commercial operator would ever be required to transport a law enforcement officer. Can you imagine being told to carry a law enforcement officer when you're using a company van? Another serious concern for NBA is the third-party audits and watch screening. These audits of general aviation aircraft would be provided by independent consultants paid for by member companies. We do know that outsourcing security is contrary to our nation's philosophy for use of federal screeners and in the development of the Secure Flight Program. In determining a final rule, we believe it is important that we get this rule right. Overly broad or unnecessary regulations that do not take into account the unique attributes of business aviation will needlessly destroy jobs and will have even more severe consequences. The security regulations the TSA put in place at Reagan National Airport are illustrative of this fact. At Reagan National Airport, there were over 30,000 operations prior to 9/11. Now there are less than 300. In other words, the restrictions at Reagan National Airport have effectively eliminated 99% of the general aviation operations at that airport. Today, less than 1% of the companies that used to fly to Reagan National Airport can now comply with the security regulations that are in place. We can appreciate that Reagan is unique, but it also serves as a caution to all of us. Business aviation in the United States should not be effectively restricted to a relative handful of large corporations. Regulations that kill 99% of an industry actually serve to thwart rather than facilitate, the terrorist objectives. Business aviation is a vital link in our nation's air transportation system, our infrastructure. It's important to our economy. It's an industry that is fundamental to our way of life. It allows small companies to compete in a global marketplace. It provides economic development in small communities, and it is the source of over 1 million manufacturing and service jobs. We believe there is a better way to go at this goal, our shared goal of enhancing security and facilitating operations. We believe the way to go is to create an aviation rulemaking committee. This is an approach that has been used consistently by the Federal Aviation Administration to address controversial, complex issues that are facing a diverse community. What is done under an aviation rulemaking committee is that experts are brought into a room, goals and objectives are outlined, and a serious exchange of ideas takes place. We're profoundly grateful that the TSA has taken the time to follow a notice and proposed comment period with this rule. We're grateful that you have extended the comment period. We're grateful that you are here today giving us an opportunity to comment. But the reality is, when you take a rule as all-encompassing as the one before us today, when it's hundreds of pages in length, it is very difficult to go and submit comments for the record or use a three-minute presentation to really address the issues that are at stake. This is an important industry, and security is an important objective. We deserve a dialogue about how best we do this. And so I'm taking this opportunity today to thank the TSA for the process that they have followed to date, to remind you that we have been, since 9/11, your security partners, that all the work we have done to date has been solely to facilitate security, to harden our industry against attack. We're committed to continuing to work with you, but we believe an important and appropriate forum for that would be an aviation rulemaking committee, where we have an opportunity to discuss rather than throw ideas back and forth over a transom or through a federal docket. Again, thank you for the opportunity to speak.